Egypt. What a cursed place of bondage. Four generations of Hebrews had toiled in slavery and poverty, while Pharaoh's household bathed in luxury and ease. Thousands of Hebrew slaves had spent their lives building the pyramid-shaped grave that was to serve as a memorial everlasting to the man who had brought nothing but misery and pain and hardship to them. Egypt. Its very name was synonymous with the hardships of a proud people who had been deprived of everything dear. There was a man named Nun, a man who had known nothing but the despair of forced labor. For countless years, he had slaved as his father and his father's father and his father's father's father before him. The days never seemed to end. The highlight of Nun's miserable life was the few moments that he was able to spend with his family. Nun's pride and joy was his son named Hoshea. Hoshea was a simple lad. You can picture him, dark hair, dark eyes, dark complexion. There was something about that boy's eyes. His eyes were filled with an innocence. Yes, he had innocence in his eyes, but he was also wise beyond his years. You see, slavery does that to children. They work right alongside the adults. The children of slaves don't play as other children do. For these children, reality had been a difficult and harsh taskmaster. Well, it seemed like just any other day. After all, you know, each day's labor was the same. Nun and Hoshea were working side by side in the mud pits making bricks. The usual banter that occurred between the slaves and their taskmasters had settled into the usual daily routine that was all so familiar. But today it was a little different. There was gossip in the line in the mud pits. An old man had wandered out of the desert to have an audience with Pharaoh. Some thought that this man might be Hebrew, a free Hebrew at that. And as the days continued to drudge on, the rumors began to grow about this stranger from the desert who had come into their world. Some folks believed that this man was the murderer Moses, who was once a prince and now claiming that he was Hebrew. And as Hoshea grew to be a strong young man, the clashes between this man named Moses and Pharaoh became more frequent. One day, an assembly occurred, kind of impromptu. And Moses was there to address the people. And Moses stood up and declared that God had indeed heard their cries for help. That God, in spite of all their misery, was actually listening to their prayers. And more amazingly than that, this man Moses said that God was going to take them home to the land of their forefather Abraham. Young Hoshea, as he listened to the old man speak, his youth was captivated by the old man's words. Could it be true? Oh, in his heart, how he wanted to believe, but logic said something else. Was God really going to set the people free? And something began to happen in the heart of young Hosea. A small flame began to flicker. A spark of hope. And that small spark suddenly grew into a roaring fire of faith and freedom that was bursting out of his chest. Hosea believed in God, and he believed in this man Moses. And one day Moses warned of plagues that God would send. There were things such as frogs and grasshoppers, lice and flies and boils. There was even hail that burned when it hit the ground. The sun did not shine for days. And even the Nile River itself, the source of life in that desert oasis, turned to blood. Every time Moses said it was going to happen, the plague happened, just as he said. And Hosea began to realize that this man is not the murderer, he is the deliverer. One day Moses warned Hosea's people that God's death angel was going to pass over the land. And every house that did not put the blood of a lamb over its on its doorposts, that house would see the death of its firstborn. Well, old Nun heeded the words of Moses. And that night, as the cries of anguish and despair echoed throughout the land of Egypt, Hosea was safe because he was covered by the blood of the lamb. And oh, what a morning the next morning was. The capital city was buzzing with busy rumors about what had happened in the night. Thousands upon thousands had died. And could it be true? Had God even struck down the firstborn of Pharaoh himself? And in the shock of that came something even more shocking. Moses had been summoned to Pharaoh's chamber. Hosea wondered in his heart, what did this mean? Is it possible? Soon enough, Hosea and his family and the rest of the Hebrews would learn. A crier came riding down the dust-choked streets, proclaiming the news. The Hebrews are free. Leave. Get out. Slave owners are ordered to set them free at once and give them whatever they want of your goods and possessions so that they may leave. Hosea probably stood there for a moment in stunned silence. And then as the reality of that moment sunk in on his mind, tears began to well up in his eyes. And while the tears flowed down and washed his tanned cheeks, his mind raced. He was going to see the land of Abraham. The land that his people 400 years ago had left. A land called home. A land of promise. A land that was said to be flowing with milk and honey. a land no living Hebrew had ever set eyes upon. As the next few days passed, Hosea's family, like all the other Hebrews, they packed their meager belongings and the gifts from their former masters. Moses began to organize the mass exodus from Egypt. And finally, the day of departure came. Oh, can't you picture it? The trumpets sounded. The children sang. The cattle murmured. Old men and old women weeping in silent praise of Yahweh. Young adults now, such as Hosea, sang anthems to the Lord their God at the top of their lungs as the multitude of thousands slowly lurched forward out of the capital city into the desert. Yes, some were whispering terrible things. We might die in the desert. But Hosea was having none of that. Hosea knew that if God could deliver them from Pharaoh, God could keep them alive in the desert. Well, the days passed by slowly. Every day was the same. Rise at dawn, break camp, trek toward Mount Sinai, where Moses said that they would receive the word of God, for that's what God had told him. But each day, the faith and fire inside Hosea continued to grow. You know, even when Pharaoh changed his mind and sent his army of chariots to pursue the emancipated slaves, Hosea's faith never wavered. Even when they were pinned up against the Red Sea and it looked like death for sure, Hosea believed God with all his heart when others faltered. You know what a day that was. The wind blew, the ocean parted, the ground, the mud dried up, and all those slaves walked across. Came up on the other side. Pharaoh in his bloodlust sent his chariots in after them. And God said, I'll have none of that. And the waters collapsed on them and they drowned. The character of his faith, the strength of his soul, did not escape the notice of the old man Moses. And one day, Moses summoned Hosea to come to his tent. Hosea was quite surprised, but he eagerly came to his audience with the great leader, and he was just struck in awe by the presence and the glory of God that was abiding in this old man. And the great Moses looked down at young Hosea. This is what Moses said. I have seen the faith in you. I've seen the wisdom of God in you that is well beyond your years, Hosea. Hosea, we're going to face trouble ahead. The nations that lie before us are not going to let this great mass of people pass through their lands without a fight. Hosea, you're the kind of man I need. Hosea, when that time comes, will you lead our young men into battle if necessary? Hosea was both honored and humbled at the same time at such a request. And Hosea agreed. He agreed not out of the thirst for fame or recognition, He agreed simply because he wanted to serve the Most High Yahweh. Moses then looked at Hosea and said, Hosea, your name means salvation will now be Joshua, which means Jehovah is salvation. Joshua continued to grow in stature. The people knew that he would not compromise his faith, and his bravery knew no end. When they came up against the Amalekites, Joshua led them into battle. God's people were victorious. Joshua grew to become the right-hand man of Moses. When they reached Mount Sinai, Moses said, I must go up on the mountain to receive the word of the Lord, to meet God. Joshua, I want you to go up the mountain with me. The base of the mountain, when the people began to rebel against the Lord and rebel against Moses, Joshua remained faithful and ever vigil. Joshua, the one who had been born a slave to the Egyptians, was now willingly letting himself be a slave to a new master, Jehovah. Even at Meribah, when God said to Moses, speak to the rock and water will come out, and Moses raised his staff and struck the rock and disobeyed God, even in the moment of Moses' failure, Joshua obeyed the Lord. When they came to Kadesh Barnea, and it was there that Moses said, we need to send in some spies to search out the land and form our plan for coming over the Jordan and entering the land of the Canaans that God has promised to us. Well, the 12 spies came back, and 10 said, we can't do it. We're grasshoppers in their sight. It was Joshua, along with his good friend Caleb, that stood there and said, they're bread to us. We'll eat them alive. They won't know what hit them. But the people sided with the 10 who wouldn't believe. And as a result, Joshua and his friend Caleb would be the only two who were of adult age that left Egypt that would set foot in the land of Abraham. For 40 years, the people wandered in the desert. But it wasn't wasted time for Joshua. He learned from the Lord and at the feet of Moses. Moses made his mistakes, yes. But Joshua still respected Moses, and Joshua learned from the mistakes of Moses. And as Moses grew more feeble and his steps slowed, it became apparent that the time for Moses to sleep with his forefathers was at hand. And once again, Moses called Joshua to himself. And there, as Moses' health was failing, Moses took off his mantle and placed it on the shoulders of Joshua and said, Joshua, you're the leader now. Follow God. Listen to God. Obey God no matter what. And you can do it. But if you try to do it yourself, you're going to fail. God is the one who will help you lead this people. And as Joshua stood there with the new mantle of leadership already weighing on his shoulders, he watched frail Moses begin struggling up Mount Nebo on the east side of the Jordan River. Moses was not going to get set foot in the land of promise because he had disobeyed God. But God was going to give him the strength to go up to the mountain and look across the river and see the land that his eyes had never beheld. And as Joshua stood there and watched that little speck go further and further up the mountain until he couldn't see him anymore, Joshua knew in this life he would never see his beloved Moses again. His heart was torn in two. On one hand, there was the love for his dear friend, Moses. And in the other hand was the burden that he was now the leader of the people. How could he go on without Moses? He had seen the fortified cities on the other side of the river. He knew that it would be impossible to defeat them without God's help. And so Joshua began to call out to God, "How can I lead this people? God, why have you chosen me? God, I am just an ordinary man, born a slave. Am I really the one?" And then God spoke to Joshua. Look in your Bibles at Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Moses had been the best man for the past. Now Joshua was the best man for the future. Moses was the best man to stand before Pharaoh. Joshua was the best man to stand before the Canaanites. Moses had been the most fit for the sea and for the wilderness. But Joshua was the fittest for the fortified cities. Moses had been God's man to lead the people out from slavery in Egypt. And Joshua was God's man to lead the people into civilized life in the promised land. Listen up. Why did I tell you that story? When I began telling you the story, some of you were going, "Who are you even talking about? Who's this Hosea guy?" It's Numbers 13, by the way, if you need a reference on that. Folks, I told you the story because God raises leaders for particular times. I want you to think back on the history of Brown Deer Baptist Church. Even in the few years I've been here, I've seen a leadership in transition. God has given us leaders that have been great and strong in their faith and have been with this church through hard times and glorious times in the past. Some of those leaders are now with the Lord, aren't they? Some of those leaders have had changes in life. Employment has changed. They've retired from their employment and they've moved. So is God going to leave His church without leaders? No. We have some wonderful leaders still here. But here's the point of the message for you today. Are you willing to be a leader? Are you willing to be a leader? Are you willing to be a leader? That's between you and God. Do you think Joshua felt like, yeah, I'm ready. I can do this. No. The surest sign that you are not qualified to be a leader of anything is when you think you are. You hear me? If you're sitting there going, I can't be a leader at Brown Deer Baptist Church and its ministries, that's material God can work with. But if you're sitting there going, pick me, pick me, pick me. Ooh, I'm the best for that. God can't work with that because you're in the way. Folks, listen to me. To eject the Canaanites from the land, the soldier Joshua was who was needed. Centuries later, when it came time to stand up for God on the plains of the Chaldeans, it was going to take Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego to do it. Some years later, when it came time to come back from the exile in the Babylonian and Persian empires, it was going to take courtly Nehemiah to stand before Artaxerxes. For the Pentecostal sermon, it was going to take someone as impetuous and untrustworthy as Peter. But yet when he surrendered to God, God could do great things through him. For the great mission of taking the gospel outside of the Holy Land to the Gentile world, it was going to be ardent Paul that was going to do it. For today's mission, today's world, God is calling leaders to stand up and say, I will stand in the gap. I will be the one. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't have the ability to do it. But God, I will trust you. God, I will believe in you that you can do it. And God, I will stand there when no one else will. Is that you? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the faithful leaders that we have at Brown Deer Baptist Church. And I pray for them and ask that you would continue to strengthen them and give them many more years of serving you. But God, our church is at a crossroads where, Lord, it is time for new leaders in new areas of ministry to stand up and say, yes, Lord, I don't know how and I'm not able, but you are. And so, Father, I know that you're already calling them out. And so, God, I trust you in that. And so, Lord, as each person here today looks inside their hearts, Lord, I pray that you will begin giving them a vision, a fire, a faith to dare to trust you, to dare to believe that through you the impossible can happen. Take their eyes off the circumstances and look to you, the Creator. Father, this invitation is a time of soul searching. May your Spirit do that. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I ask you to stand. I'm not asking you to come.